Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You know, this sucks a lot more than I remembered it.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 23, Coda. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Dave and Tara.
Hi.
Hello, listeners. We hope that you're very well before we get into this Coda episode. A note on what's going on the sister podcast. Again with this, episode 266 drops this Friday, December 5th. Let's watch Jenny O'Hara, Scott's mom, in The Mindy Project. That is season 3, episode 11 of that show. It's called Christmas, and it is on Hulu. We will link it in the show notes if you would like to watch along. And you would like to discuss along with us. The club is very fun. You should join. It is at againwiththispodcast.com/club. Head over there. We've got, as noted, 265 other episodes for you to enjoy. Great way to spend the holiday is wallowing in the archives.
Also makes a great gift. You can gift a subscription to a loved one or enemy, depending on how you feel about us. We don't really care either way.
No.
All that info is also at the aforementioned, again, with this podcast.com/club. Let's go through our one and only plot line. Hope you like goodbyes, because this episode is friggin' packed with them. We are, oh God, back at season one. Not only are Joey and Dawson chastely sitting on his bed with their filthy shoes on, watching a movie. No. They're watching his movie, the horror film that he was making in season one with Joey as the heroine and Pacey as the sea creature from the deep. And right after a dummy gets its sculpted head bust of Joey knocked off by the sea creature, Dawson comments that the movie's a lot worse than he remembered. Joey reminds him that it won a junior division prize at the Boston Film Festival, and Dawson jokes about spending that prize money on his next self-indulgent piece of crap. Exposition time. Joey still has a whole summer to be nervous about college, but Dawson is leaving for the USC summer program the day after tomorrow. He is starting to think it wasn't such a good idea to leave home this soon, but Joey bucks him up. When the camera cuts back to the movie, Joey's character is alive again and getting pulled off a dock into the water. Nice continuity, guys. Seeing the masked version of Pacey leads Dawson to ask if Joey has heard from him, which she hasn't. He is sure Pacey will contact her at some point. Joey asks if Dawson ever feels utterly incapable of sustaining a relationship, which is kind of rude of her to ask since she was with Pacey for a year, whereas Dawson got ditched after about 5 months. But he just says he does. Despite their mutual misery, he's had a lot of fun with Joey lately, and she has too. He wishes it didn't have to end, but she says everything does, and he knows, he just wishes it didn't. And after the credits, the current core four, which is Dawson, Joey, Jenna, Jack, are lying on the steps of a fountain playing Would You Rather Wrong? They're playing it wrong.
It's not Would You Rather. It's just a gross out competition.
Yeah. They're just floating scenarios that no one actually picks between. Like,
yeah, death is not an option. Get a grip.
Would you rather work two straight shifts at Leary's Fresh Fish totally naked or have sex once with Peskin? Would you rather have sex with Peskin or spend your freshman year living with a stinky roommate? What do we think anyone would rather do? We don't find out. Then it's Dawson's turn. Clip two.
I got it. I go.
I've got a would you rather so brilliant in this perverse.
Oh, this better be.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't. I wouldn't preface your supposed brainstorms with the word brilliant. I mean, it's just setting you up for failure.
Hey, will you two Harrigans let the man speak, please?
Thank you. Okay, would you rather have sex with Peskin or watch Peskin have sex with Grams?
Okay. First of all,
Grams would never have sex with Peskin. And second of all, you win. That's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
You don't.
You're disgusting.
You're disgusting.
Pick one.
Play right. God.
Yes.
Anyway, Dawson still says he's leaving town, the would you rather gross out champion. Fine. And then he has to run because he's late to meet Mitch at a computer store. Mitch is eager to show off all the research he did on which laptop to buy Dawson for school, but Dawson's eye is drawn to the girls clustered around a new Mac, and both Learys are being annoying about this. Clip 3.
850 megahertz P3 processor, 128 megabytes of RAM, 32 gig hard drive, DVD, 56K modem. What more could you want?
I don't know. Mac, maybe?
What? It's become obvious to me that in life you're either a Mac person or a PC person, and the choice defines you. Let me put it this way. Beatles or Elvis?
Beatles.
See, exactly. This is no different.
Dawson, I've done all the research. The T21 is by far the best buy, and that's what we're getting.
Yeah, in that case, I'd just prefer you didn't even get me a laptop.
You need a laptop for school, Dawson. I am getting you a laptop.
Okay, Dad, I appreciate you wanting to do this for me, but it's not fair if you only want to do it on your own terms.
Not fair. A father wants to spend thousands of dollars on his son, and somehow it's not fair.
Why would you want to spend thousands of dollars on something I don't even want?
Because it's something you need. No, it's practical, it's functional, it'll last you for years.
It's not what I want.
Can I help you?
Yes, we'll take the T21, thank you.
All right, excellent choice.
Dave was making a lot of faces in that description, so I want to know, how good is that computer?
Just hearing 56K modem just sends shiver down my spine. So I was waiting for the GIF to load pixel line by pixel line. Yikers. I mean, here's the thing with computers. Just get whatever the person's used to.
Yeah.
And then go on with your life. Don't try to convince anybody that whatever platform you're using is the one they should be using. Just like whatever they're used to, just go with God, because it's just pain and suffering if you have to deal with it later. So you're like,
right.
You choose, just don't bug me when it goes wrong.
Well,
unless it's your fucking ingrate kid, in which case it's like, I can afford this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd rather have a Mac. Great. Get a fucking job. Pay for a Mac yourself.
Yeah.
We brought $800 to the mall for this.
Mm-hmm. But to Dave's point, this is not what Dawson is used to. We have certainly seen in multiple occasions Dawson using a Sony Vaio computer because the show is produced by Sony Pictures Television.
Now, those are pieces of crap.
Yeah. Well,
I had one at some work at some point and it was terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, there's also no talk of like what programs Dawson will need to use as a filmmaker, which you would think is the most urgent question no one cares to answer or raise, but whatever. Burn on Sony and Vaio, I guess, this whole scene. Your shit is uncool. Anyway, over to Grams' house, where almost everything has been packed up or thrown away, including the food. She bustles in to get a dish for a potluck and reminds Jen that she has to pack her room still, especially if she wants to go to the movies with Dawson tonight. Jen takes that as passive-aggressively trying to get Jen to stay home for what will be their last night in the house, which Jen wants to do, but Graham says they already took the pictures off the wall and the food out of the fridge, so there's no point being sentimental. When Jen protests, Graham says that if Jen comes home tonight, they can have tea. Jen quietly says, pack the kettle, in a very cute way. Graham takes off, leaving Jen to look wistful. I'm just pointing out here, that means all of the talk of like, it's Dawson's last night in Capeside. It's also Jen's last night in Capeside, maybe forever, unlike Dawson, who is going to be coming home to his own parents' house because they're staying. No one acknowledges that part of it at all.
Yeah, but they act like moving to Boston is moving like into a different time zone, except here, where I guess they think that Boston is like a neighboring town.
Yeah.
Which it is not.
So when he gets back from the store with Dawson, Mitch is eager to get Dawson's computer set up, but Joey's already there. Her hands are jammed in the pockets of her jeans, which is a physical choice she makes in every scene this episode. And if you don't believe me, go to the visual aids and look at the pentatic that I made of her from like five different locations and times of night.
Yeah, it must have been just incredibly unseasonably cold in North Carolina in March when they were shooting this.
Right.
Because yikes.
Dawson's plan for the night is to go to a movie with his friends, And neither Dawson nor Mitch handles the situation well. Clip 4.
Dawson, it's your last night at home.
And?
Oh, and actually it's your last night on Earth, bitch. What is
that? Oh my God.
Fucking hell.
Whatever. Like, we all had to negotiate this.
Sure.
But, like, I had a parent who would hammer me head down into the lawn with a croquet mallet for talking to her like that, and you just find another way.
Well, the way is established, which is you have dinner with your parents, and then when they go to bed at 8:30, you go out with your friends. Like, this, we figured this out as a culture.
Yeah. Also, you have a baby sister. They will be dealing with that.
Right.
Leave then.
But that's not what either of them says. Clip 5.
Well, I thought we'd spend it together as a family.
And I thought I would spend some time with my friends.
Listen, I don't want to embarrass anybody here. I'm sorry, Joey, but I'd really appreciate it if you stayed for dinner.
Mitch.
Dad, I'll be home later.
Let me understand this. You would rather go to the movies than spend what little time you have left with myself, your mother, and your little baby sister.
That's not what I said, Dad. What is so criminal about wanting to hang out with my friends?
You've been hanging out with your friends all month.
What is going on with you?
Nothing. I am just trying to figure out when my son became so insensitive.
Probably about the same time you became so overbearing.
You'll stay for dinner, then.
No.
No.
No, Dad. Look, I'm stressed out enough about moving 3,000 miles away without having to worry about how I'm letting you down. Okay, I'm going to go to the movies, I'll be back later, and I'm not going to feel guilty about wanting to spend some portion of my last night here with a few people who mean the world to me. Is that okay?
Do what you want.
You know...
I mean...
He's such a bitch.
He's such a bitch. When did he become so insensitive, Mitch? Really?
Like, seriously.
It was well before the premiere, but okay.
So as Mitch stomps off with the computer, Dawson was also a bitch about, Dawson whines at Gale, who just tells him to go. And after some unspecified Caribbean B-roll on totally different film stock, which you can see in the visual aids, we are with Pacey in an unspecified, supposedly Caribbean B-roll that is obviously still, like, it's maybe they went to Myrtle Beach, but, like, part of that has a high-rise next to the beach. There's like 4 black people, which I guess is how they're trying to make this look like it's not where they always usually are.
Yeah, there's like a kettle drum so that you are located in time and space. Mm-hmm. I mean,
steel drum.
I don't know. Like, yeah, sorry. Steel drum. Like, if you're going to kick Pacey off the, like, out of the friend group this way, leave him kicked off. Give Joshua Jackson the week off. Like, just enough. No, like, don't make us care about him and his shirts at this point.
So a kid who is only credited as Rasta Man tells Pacey to relax and start enjoying paradise, but first Pacey needs to borrow his phone to make an important call, which only rings 3 times before Pacey gives up and flips the phone closed. And then in town, Jack reminds Dawson, as if he needed it, how far away he's going to USC. Asked about his mood, Dawson says he's excited, nervous, exhilarated, and depressed. Jack reminds him that he can stay in town and paint someone's house, and Dawson suggests that Jack get Joey to do it with him because she'd probably welcome the chance not to have to work for Mrs. Valentine. When Jack comments that Joey's really going to miss him, Dawson shrugs that she has plenty of other stuff on her mind besides him. When Jack says that saying goodbye to Joey is a fairly colossal event and insists that Dawson must have thought about spending the whole summer with Joey instead of going to USC early, Dawson admits that, yes, of course, he has thought about it. Clip 6.
I thought about it so much it makes me mad because I can't understand why I can't stop thinking about it. I fell in love with somebody else this year. Do you have an idea how significant that is for me? I mean... So why can't I stop thinking about her?
Because the writers are trying to kill us. Also, just a blanket note here. Like, I know a 56K modem is not a lot, but it was enough for me to run Mighty Big TV on for like 2 years.
Oh, I'm sure
y'all
that's
have
what we
email.
Had to.
Yeah, you're not being sent into space in deep suspension like an alien. Calm down. We weren't this dramatic about it, and we had to write physical letters with stamps when I was going through this.
Yeah, same.
Till.
Also, sidebar, since Mrs. Valentine came up, last week was Drew's. That was a series wrap on Drew, and we totally let it go by. Whoops. Sorry, bye, Drew.
Sorry, bye, Drew.
We were told he was going to be in Boston as an inducement to make Jen go there, which she did, but she's not going to be seeing him. Sorry.
No.
Elsewhere, Jen and Joey are talking about Dawson. Of course, Jen is going to miss Dawson, but it's different. She had all last summer to get sick of his quirks, and then she and Joey fondly list them, like how he makes you sit through all the credits after a movie, the endless picture taking and self-analysis. Jen jokes about the way he puts you on a pedestal and makes you the center of his universe, and then quietly adds that if Joey told him to stay, he would. Joey doesn't believe that's true in any way. What makes Jen think Joey would want him to stay? Clip 7.
It's this little voice inside my head that says, I like your hair color. What number is that?
You still hate me, don't you?
No, I don't hate you.
I mean, I don't get it, Jen. I mean, how am I supposed to feel about this? Am I supposed to feel good knowing that I have the power to change somebody's life?
I don't know. I mean, I think that we all have the power to change each other's lives. The question is, are you going to use it?
Leave it alone. I'm begging you. I am actually begging you.
Yeah, they were fine. It was actually kind of sweet. Season 4 Dawson really clawed it back. Take the W and stop right here. Narrator, they didn't.
They didn't, alas. Then the guys join them, and it's very this, clip 8.
What are you talking about?
Football! What are you talking about?
Shopping.
Thank you, Trainspotting. Oh my God.
Baby Kevin McKidd.
I know.
Love that.
Only Jen manages to act normal as she distributes tickets and everyone heads into American Graffiti. And after the movie, there's a bunch of time-filling awkwardness as Jen seems like tries to peel off with Jack to give Dawson and Joey some privacy. But it doesn't quite work, and they all end up walking back toward, I guess, Dawson's car, because they're all going to end up at Dawson's house. But then Joey says she's going to be the first stop. Over to the Leary house, Mitch and Gail are choosing shots for a photo album. Mitch creates a reason to complain about Dawson's stubbornness. It's not that hard, trust me. Which Gail turns around on Mitch, saying he is obviously feeling insecure that Dawson isn't going to need him in the same way anymore and has decided to mask it by throwing a tantrum. Which is true. Dawson was also being a bitch, though. No, there are no winners here.
Yeah. And there's also, like, just kind of the weird sense that between the actors, there was a different kind of separation, allegedly, possibly. Yep. And that's how that's playing out. And
very much so.
Hard heat ship seems roll brittle and it's uncomfortable.
Yep. So then Dawson's pulling up the B&B and everyone realizes a momentous moment is happening. And as Dawson walks Joey to the door, they chit chat about how comforting it is to watch a movie you've seen before. Like, we get it. I promise we understand what you're doing here.
Yeah, we do. Also, that movie is not that good and it's too long. Bye.
It's not. They agree it's going to be weird living so far apart. She tells him he's going to have tons of celebrity sightings. He doesn't think LA works like that. It actually does.
It completely does.
She suggests that sometime he's going to just turn around at a mall and see Steven Spielberg. And if he goes to the Century City Plaza in this era, that is very possible because that's where Dive was, his restaurant, and it was still open at this time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Dawson says he's in more of a Soderbergh phase right now, and she rolls her eyes, but also just to prove her point and mine, I spotted Steven Soderbergh at the Arclight when I lived in LA. Like, one of many. Joey blows past that, asking what Dawson would say if he saw Spielberg, the man who shaped Dawson's whole life and made growing up a little more bearable. Clip 9.
I guess I just have to say thank you.
Doesn't quite seem like enough, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It was a really nice moment for the actors.
I agree.
Mean, I know the Spielberg stuff is goofy, but especially Vanderbeek in that moment, just letting some things play across his face and then not forced by the writing to articulate every single one of them a second time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole episode is kind of this self-indulgent, like, let's give the actors a bunch of goodbyes in case we don't get picked up, question mark. I'm not totally sure what happened here, but there are some nice sort of meta things happening in spite of the time wasting.
Agree. Joey says she'll see Dawson at Thanksgiving, but there's been talk of his parents bringing Lily out, so it'll have to be Christmas. And Joey's eyes fill as she bravely hugs Dawson and wishes him luck and then gets inside before she starts crying for real. And once she's closed the door behind her, she seems like she's considering going back out. And when we cut to Dawson, he has just come back up the steps, which is when the outside light goes off and he just says, see ya, to Joey, but actually to the door.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Then, between the Ryan and Leary houses, Jack excitedly reaches into his car so he and Jen can give Dawson his goodbye gift. Something black! It's only from the context clue of Jack saying they can only afford 5 minutes of airtime that let me figure out he's holding a cell phone because it's dark and it's not in a box. Like, it could be a car door opener, or I mean a garage door opener for
yeah,
all we can see of it.
Yeah, I thought it was a beeper?
Yes, yes.
But still, like, I guess they didn't think people would still be watching this shit in 2025 or that we'd all have neck ports or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. They could have made it at least a color so we could see what he's holding. Anyway, they figured he needed it for LA and it was either that or BMW. Jen nudges the guys to hug, which they do before Jack takes off, leaving Jen and Dawson to linger. Dawson comments on what a good thing it's been for Jen to have lived at Graham's house since he, Pacey, and Joey all grew up terrified of Graham's to the point that Pacey once offered Joey a dollar to run up and touch the door, which she didn't. Dawson thinks Joey's still scared of Graham's. And then when he said that, I had to think back and I realized I don't think the two of them have like talked to each other since Graham's helped Bessie during labor, like at all. I can't remember a single time, truly.
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, clip 10.
I guess that makes me the Boo Radley of the scenario, huh?
Exactly. Except beautiful and with breasts.
What?
And nothing like Boo Radley?
No.
Like, I know people love the name Boo Radley, but it's actually not a broad reference. It's like, okay.
Also, you could just say, except a beautiful girl, like that would have been fine. I assume Tom Kapanos and not Gina Fattori, although they are both credited with co-writing this episode. Jen says, wit, we like that around here, which the breast line wasn't, but it's a callback to the pilot, the wit thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jen hugs Dawson and then clip 11.
Okay, go get the hell out of here. walk across that lawn, have a great life, and don't ever call me again.
What, so I confirm your worst fears about men?
Yes, exactly. Oh, wait, I forgot. We never slept together.
You got 5 minutes?
For you? Always.
Throw him one! I gotta stop saying this about everybody, but throw him one! Come on! It means nothing
I mean,
to you.
Yeah. Yeah, he came a long way towards being more bearable, but maybe a young man who's getting it in wouldn't be such a bitch to his father about a laptop.
Perhaps.
Then again, maybe he would. Again, kudos to Vanderbeek for got 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was good delivery.
Yeah. Dawson just laughs and they gaze at each other until Grams comes out and is sorry for interrupting their moment. But Jen says, it's okay, they're done. Dawson agrees they are doomed to be friends forever. And they hug again and Jen says, sucks, doesn't it? Before heading up the walk to watch him go a little bit moist-eyed. And then Dawson walks into the house to see a new MacBook set up at the table and Mitch lurking in the doorway, commenting that it's not the most practical choice, but it does look cool. Not cooler than the PC he wanted to get. Debatable. Mitch knew he'd be sad to see Dawson go, but was not expecting not to want him to go. And tearing up, he says, clip 12.
Son or not, Dawson, you are one of my favorite people.
You know, you gotta stop setting us up like this, guys.
Feel like we need to be here for this.
So they have a hard hug, and then Mitch runs through what is apparently his final advice checklist, clip 13.
You know not to have sex without a condom, right?
Dad, please, I was only in kindergarten, I knew what Trojans were.
Right. Drugs.
I can't swear to you that I'll never try some variety of narcotic, but I can promise you I'll never get so strung out I steal your TV.
Please, no one give this man cocaine. The world cannot handle him talking more.
No.
It's serious.
No. Also, I don't know, maybe start the negotiation at marijuana?
Yeah.
You're a college student? Let's not go straight into opioids. Jeez.
Mitch asks Dawson not to join a frat, and that Dawson can promise. Mitch asks how it was to say goodbye to Joey. Like most things in life you have high expectations for, Dawson says it was underwhelming. Mitch does a bit of a ramp up to say it's not over till it's over. Dawson also finds that observation underwhelming, but it's all Mitch could think of. And then over tea, for which Grams has dug out not just the kettle and teacups, but the teapot and saucers. Jen comments that when she first moved in, she thought it was a punishment because her mother, Helen, did not love her enough. But since then, she has remembered how much Helen always looked forward to visiting and tried to find any excuse to bring Jen there. Graham says that's sad for Helen, because some people spend their whole lives chasing the happiness they had in high school, but she's sure Jen won't. The way she and her friends are always darkly discussing how bad things are, things can only pick up from here. That's when Jack comes back. He says he got halfway home before he decided he couldn't leave them there alone on their last night. Okay, fine, at least he remembered. And as Grams gets Jack cookies in a teacup and returns to the table with her vest buttoned wrong for some reason, Jen asks if Grams really isn't sad about this being their last night in the house. Grams is actually exhilarated about leaving all this behind, and then I guess they were short on the runtime because Jen asks Grams about everywhere she has lived throughout her marriage. Like, it's a, you know, a bunch, but watching summer people having parties convinced Grams and Gramps that they could only be happy if they bought a summer house and lived in it year round. And they were happy there, even though it would always get cold in the winter. Like, okay, that really went on for a while.
Again, did feel to me like let's maximize our time with Mary Beth Pyle.
Peel, I think.
Because we don't know who's going to sign for next year / how often we're going to see her. So,
right.
I mean, that's fine. But also here again, details of their like stifling first apartment is like nobody really needed air conditioning on the Cape until like 5 years ago. So can we please pick a place where we actually are? Mm-hmm. Please.
Then the phone rings at the Leary house. It is Pacey, from what he keeps insisting on calling Paradise. Crewing on this trip has been the hardest work he's ever done, but he thinks that's good since it's keeping his mind off things. Pacey asks about Joey without saying her name, and Dawson says she's doing the same thing Pacey is by trying to keep busy. He's pretty sure Joey hasn't stopped thinking about Pacey and that she would appreciate a call, but Pacey's not ready to reach out yet. Dawson offers to pass on a message, but Pacey called to talk to Dawson, the only person in town he regrets not having said goodbye to before he left. He fondly remembers the years when all that mattered to Pacey was being Dawson's best friend. Despite everything that's happened in the distance between them now, Dawson's glad Pacey called, since he wanted to say something to Pacey, too. Dawson's proud of him, which is a really condescending thing to say to someone who's your age, but fine, I guess. And then the lady cover of Daydream Believer from the Aunt Gwen episode starts playing as Dawson regards his suitcase and then flaps out of his room. When we see him again, he's flapping down the lawn, only to see Joey come out to meet him, hands jammed in her pockets again. She jokes that if she didn't come help him pack, he'd end up in LA with just the clothes he's wearing, and she didn't want him to stink up the town. And he was on his way to the B&B. His flimsy pretext for coming by there was going to be that he hadn't said goodbye to Bodie or Bessie yet. And they then head inside for the longest scene of the series to date. We rejoin them as they're watching the end of E.T. and Dawson comments that he saw Joey surreptitiously wiping away a tear and saying it's her favorite movie. And yet another callback to an earlier episode, she asks if it won the Oscar, I assume meaning Best Picture, since he tells her, not for the first time, that it lost to Gandhi. And he hoists his full suitcase onto the bed, and we see behind him, his entire closet is empty. Like, he didn't leave behind a parka or a sweater or some boots. Like, you don't bring everything you own to college unless you're not coming back to this house ever again.
No. Plus, you'd have just shipped it separately or had Gail do it, whatever. Ugh, exhausting.
Dawson tells Joey she has to help him jam the tape into his suitcase, and she says he's worse than a girl. He jokes about her emasculating him the last time she's ever going to see him, at least until Christmas. By then, Joey thinks he'll be married to the first bimbo to give him her headshot. He says she'll be shacked up with the first guy to give her a hit off his beer bong. That was your last girlfriend, I think, more so than Joey, actually.
Yeah.
They quip back and forth about where they'll be in 4 years until Joey mopes that she feels like she's never going to see him again. She knows she will, but he'll be different. He'll have a tan and a pretty girlfriend that Joey's sure she's going to hate, even though she'll know the girl is great because Dawson likes her. Clip 14.
You sound pretty sure about all this.
You can't keep it a secret forever, Dawson.
What's that?
How incredible you are.
We gained so much ground.
He's been doing a pretty good job hiding that light under a bushel, in my opinion, but
yes,
go off, I guess.
Don't send him back to season one and season two, Dawson. Don't do it.
No.
Joey downshifts from that to favorites. His favorite movie's Jaws. Her favorite song is Daydream Believer. He thinks his most embarrassing moment was when the whole school saw him making out with Eve, but Joey thinks that only raised his profile. Certainly true. Mm-hmm. Joey's is when she offered to have sex with Dawson and he turned her down, not when Pacey burned her to the ground in front of the whole class, maybe?
No. I mean, granted, at no time during that did she have to utter the line, "Am I sexual, Dawson?" Ugh. So I don't not see her point,
I guess.
But still.
Dawson asks to nominate his rejection for his biggest regret. Hers is lying to Dawson about sleeping with Pacey, not making Pacey think there was a chance he'd be offered admission to Worthington. That might be mine. They stay on sex for a second, though. Clip 15.
So funny.
I'm the only one who has not had sex. I didn't plan on graduating a virgin. What happened?
Best laid plans.
All right. Come on.
Yeah. Also, I mean, he got at least one beach from Eve. Count it. You're fine.
Yeah. Also, Joey, throw him one. He'll be so grateful. She's the only one who should.
I heard that, Dave.
Dawson asks if his imaginary college girlfriend's going to sleep with him, but Joey says, unfortunately, she is a prude. And then Dawson asks Joey what her all-time most life-altering moment was. Should be easy, like when her mother died or when her father went to prison or even when she got on the true love with Pacey, honestly, but no. She says it's when Dawson kissed her in the season one finale into the season two premiere. It says it's a pretty powerful thing to get your wish in a single moment. She tells him not to forget to turn away my sweet poster and sadly watches him take it down before clip 16.
I want you to stay.
No.
No.
Excuse me?
I said I want you to stay, and there I said it.
You don't think you could have maybe said something before I packed?
No, I said it, and now I want you to forget it.
Forget it? Jura, how do I forget that?
Well, it's just something that I've been thinking about, and I wanted you to know that I was thinking about it. You know, I was just gonna keep my mouth shut and let you go. But it's not me. That's some Merchant Ivory movie, you know, where people suffer in silence and you're supposed to be so impressed by their restraint. Well, you know, sorry, but screw that. My best friend in the whole world is leaving tomorrow. A big part of me wants him to stay. So I hope you don't hate me.
I could never hate you, Joey. And not for lack of trying either.
Okay, so this guy's really back then. The bitter guy that no one missed. Cool. Great.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't actually take it like that. I thought that was a good line because I was thinking it.
All right.
When he said, I was like, well, you tried. And he's like, yeah, not for lack of trying. I was like, all right, that was, you know, overwritten, but okay. Like, mm-hmm. I think we still have season four Dawson. I think we're doing okay. And you couldn't have said something before I packed. Crack me up. I'm not happy about it, but it's true.
Yeah, no one wants to pack. It sucks. I mean, all through this episode, but also just in general. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're not done. Clip 17.
These past couple of years, it's been one big soap opera.
Yeah, we noticed that also.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the Truman Show.
Joey wouldn't take any of it back, but she's glad it's over because she likes the way things are now. Dawson just stares at her with flared nostrils as she comments on the irony that her best friend's leaving just as they have figured things out. So he sits and intensely says that if he thought it was the right thing to do, he would stay, but it's time for him to get out of this room. True. There's more. Clip 18.
It's time for you to discover who you are without us.
I think she did that when she blew town for 3 months on a boat with a different dude. But, you know, he's right when he says this chapter is over, at least.
Yeah. Also, the first time this happened, she wound up dumping you for a not out gay man.
Yeah.
Like 4 episodes later so that she could get in touch with her art, which we have not heard fuck all about in months. So just cut the cord for her, Dawson, please.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the scene is still going on. Joey asks if Dawson believes in magic. Clip 19.
I never used to. I mean, how could I? 13, your mom dies. You hope against hope for magic, something to make it all better. It never comes, and you know, you look to your father, who's unable to overcome all of his tragic flaws. Well, no abracadabra there. And then there's Pacey. Well, any magic that was there that ran out, didn't it? But then there's you. There's proof that someone out there is thinking of me. My friend who was with me always.
He's not with her always.
Did you just compare him to Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Because don't give him an excuse.
No.
My heaven sent friend.
Yeah, don't talk about footsteps. Even give him a chance to say it's when he was carrying her. Anyway, she says it's all a long way of saying she'll miss him. He will miss her too. She realizes it's late and wishes the latter were still there so she could make what she calls a classy exit. Like, I'm not sure that's classier than going out the door, but the daydream believer covers it resumes as they stand by the window and realize this is really it. She hugs him, crying on his shoulder, while he just looks intense. And then she asks what his most life-altering moment was. Clip 20.
I know it could be this one right now. Saying goodbye to you.
Well, it could be.
You could stick the landing, yeah. but this is Dawson's Creek.
That's right. The camera switches to a long shot so we can see they're standing with their pelvises touching and their arms still around each other. And sure enough, they fucking kiss. And we even get the season one finale shot from outside of them silhouetted on the shade, and that's where we leave them in season four, shooting backwards in time and undoing all the progress they did throughout their high school years. These two little fuckers.
It's like Val and Brandon boning in that finale, and then will we be lucky enough to have a hard reset in the season five premiere? Spoiler.
Kind of no.
Yeah.
Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. I think Jen is the only one who didn't really embarrass herself or Jack.
I'm going to say Dawson.
What?
You made me laugh multiple times, and I think, given the writer's attempts to haul him back into the murk of the early seasons, Vanderbeek resisted valiantly and had some good line deliveries. So, Dawson.
Okay. Least valuable player. Mitch, you gotta relax. He's gonna be home. It's fine.
Joey?
Yeah.
Just like turn the porch light out, go to your room, think about whoever you think about, and sure. Don't do this.
No, don't. And now that we are here at the end of season four, we also have to name our season MVP. Oh, tough one. We got a lot of ups and downs.
God, yeah. And there's, you know, people I completely forgot were even on the show. I mean, greatest distance traveled to a tolerable character.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give it to Dawson.
Oh, but I thought you were going to say Drew.
No, but I mean, him too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Mr. Brooks?
Mm-hmm.
He was rather valuable and he played a big part in making Dawson bearable while busting his chops constantly.
True. I'm going to say Jack. He really figured some stuff out about himself. He made peace with his dad. He got a cute boyfriend. And all of that is pretty solid, I would say.
Yeah, that's an excellent choice.
Least valuable player. Mrs. Valentine, as much as I enjoyed her as a villain, definitely a pretty bad villain.
Mr. Lindley.
Him too.
Definitely in the conversation, but my actual answer, and I know it's not his fault, but fuck's sake, kid, Pacey.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Next time on Again With This, it's the season 5 premiere. Can the show make the transition to the college years successfully? LOL, no, but we're plunging ahead with Joey's new roommate, yay! Joey's crappish writing prof, boo. Jen's new boy, yikes, and much more. Do you want some early aughts looks to plunge you into despair? Behold, it's our visual aids. We do them for every episode of this podcast, and you can find all of them, along with all of our episodes, on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm one big soap opera, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is excellent choice, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is one of our favorite people. Talk to you next time.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.